All right, so we'll just speak over this or go over this real quickly, and then hopefully we'll find a speaker by then, and then we'll tap into some chosen. But it says, after these, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years, which is crazy. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? Now, that's a good question, but we'll come back to it to kind of labor on a little bit. Verse 7, the sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed, and walk. And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. Now, I'm going to read a couple more verses so you can see it in context. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed. But he answered them, the man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk. So I want to focus on verse 6. It says, do you want to be healed? Now, what are some things people need to be healed from? It could be their thoughts. Good. What else? Oh, why did you say thoughts? Yep. So we need our thoughts to be healed. What else do people need healing for? Yes, sir. Sicknesses. Yep. You said what's where? Broken heart. Anybody else? And this poses a question for you and I. To examine and ask yourself, do we really want to be healed? I want you to think about something in your life that needs to be healed. You can write it in your soap book. You can think about it. What is that place in your life that you have yet to be healed from? I have a quote that I always say, healing happens when habits change. Healing happens when habits change. What do you think that means? Good. Yes, sir.
When you change what you're doing, and when you change from, like, you know, being in the world and doing simple things, then that's when your healing happens. And that's when you start changing your personality for whatever you dealt with in the past.
Good, good. Anybody else? Healing happens when habits change. Now, unfortunately, in modern day churches and churches of old, people assume that if I just ask God for healing, he'll heal me. Or if I just pay my tithes and do nothing, then $1 million is going to come across the seas and come to my doorstep, ring the doorbell, and hand it to me. We forget that half of the Bible is action. Half of the Bible, half of a belief, half of faith is action. The Bible says, it talks about faith without works is what? I show you my faith by my what? Works. So this man, it says this man was lame, invalid for 38 years. Bro didn't want it bad enough, fam. Like, how do you be so close to a pool for healing? And for 38 years, you ain't at least scoot over every year to get close. So by year 38, you could just roll in, right? So obviously, Jesus was asking a question, not like he didn't know the answer. He was like, fam, do you want to be healed? Because if you want to be healed, you will do whatever it takes to make it happen. And what do people need to be healed for? Why is healing such a powerful thing? Yes. So I can see how good God is. What's another reason why healing is?
It can break cycles.
Break cycles, yep. What else?
It
And we'll break them down in a minute. Yes, we heard.
I guess it's like easier to fulfill your purpose.
Fulfillment.
And change
you. You said what's what?
Change you.
Change you, yep. What else? Why is healing such? Yes, sir.
See and help others.
Help others, yep. We'll stop there. So, I want to be healed mentally. I want to be healed emotionally. I want to be healed physically so that God can get glory for my life. God cannot get glory out of a sick person. God cannot get, what does it mean God being glorified? Maybe I don't want to cross over certain terms. I just want to hear from y'all. What does it mean when someone glorifies God through their life? Yes, sir.
They put him in the middle.
Yep. What else? Glorifying God in vitality. Vitality means vibrancy of life. Like vitality means like you're just at your optimum, right? What does that mean? When it means to giving God glory or God being glorified through your life. Say it again. Yep, that's good. What else? God being glorified in your life benefits God how? Like being healthy. How does that glorify him? Yes.
It helps others to see who like aren't with God, that if they maybe if they go to God, they can be healthy too.
Yep. What'd you have, Rhea?
I was gonna say it shows God's power.
God's power. So now God doesn't need a Maverick City concert. He doesn't need a packed church event. He don't need that to get people. That's not his biggest marketing plan. What's the biggest marketing tool God has? The best and the biggest marketing plan.
Christian.
Huh? An authentic Christian. Go a little bit deeper.
A real Christian.
A changed person. Now, think about the woman at the well, right? Everybody knew she was a hoe. She was a hoe, right? And she was doing hoe things, right? And the cities wasn't like New York. It wasn't like she was hoeing in New York and nobody knew what she was doing in Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? Or if she was in Harlem shaking and baking and caking, right? We don't know. But it was a small town. Anybody here was raised in a small town with one light or something like that? So you know pretty much everybody. You know who's the crackhead, you know who has the money. So when she came down that hill sprinting, like y'all do in track practice, coming down the hill, and she's sprinting down that hill, right? And she said, I know a man that told me everything, and they saw the countenance of her change. When she came down the mountain, a new woman, everybody said, like, oh, I got to meet this man, because fam, you know, we know what she was on, and now she ain't on that no more. I ain't even try to shoot my shot, and she wasn't even paying me attention. Imagine the shawty that a few times, you know what I mean? And then you be like, you want to holler at me later? She's like, no, don't. That man gonna be like, yo, just yesterday, you know what I mean? You know, but so what that means is that when you are changed, and everybody has seen that you've been in pain, that you have gone through stuff, that's the biggest marketing plan. So God being glorified, I have to be healed because I got to break cycles. Yo, I couldn't carry on with what my dad was doing. Imagine me being like my great-great-great-greats in a negative way. Like what you said is powerful. I have to heal my thoughts so that my kids won't think the same. I got to heal my broken heart so I don't break my kids' hearts. So I got to heal because it breaks cycles. Next, for fulfillment. Who said fulfillment? Yes, fulfillment. Why did you say fulfillment or purpose?
Because, it's harder to, do what you're supposed to do if you, are too busy, worrying about, getting better.
How many of us miss the opportunities of today, heartbroken from yesterday? Next is, I need to change. And I can help others, like Savion said. So, healing happens when habits change. Obviously, this guy did not want it bad enough. And my question to you is, how bad do you want it? Like, every night, every so often, I think about Hannah's kid. That's my daughter. The Bible says a wise man thinks about or leaves an inheritance for his children's children. When I think down the road, I have to look at, okay, if I want to, like, for instance, I want to live long enough because I'm 38. I'm 38. Let's say she get married at 30. So I'm 38. 30 years from now, I'll be what, 68?
Mm-hmm.
I want to be at 68 years old. Dance with her. My feet, my footwork, I got to work on it. You know, I want to be able to dance with her at her wedding. I want to be in a hospital room when my grandchild is being born. So if I want to see those days, I have to change my what?
Habits.
How many of you all are about to be brokenhearted for 38 years? How old are you all right now?
15.
38 plus 15 is what?
57.
I'm going to take your word for it. Math wasn't my...
53.
Ah, all right, cool. 53. Imagine you, y'all at 15, on the verge of 16, and that thought has been with you for 38 years. That sickness has been with you for 38 years. That little boy that hurt your heart, that little girl that hurt your heart, you 53. Now when you put it in context like that, you're going to be like, oh man, I don't want to be 53 years old still holding on to a hurt or a health challenge. This guy, and what I love about the story is that the guy wasn't far from his healing. It wasn't like he had to be like the one with the issue of blood that had to press through and touch the hem. Like, Jesus was like, yo, man, you're in the place of healing. And what I love about that is that back in the Bible days, the angels had to stir the water. Like, the angels had to come down and be like, you know, we'll heal these folks every now and then. You got the healer in you. You and I have the Holy Spirit in us that has the, what's the things that heal people? The ointments, the, what's the terminology for my doctor people out there? It's, the antibiotics,
the vitamins,
there we go. All that good stuff, right? He has it in you right now. But how many of us are letting him heal us? Now, why is healing so difficult? Why? I mean, I ain't talking about your ankle or your wrist or your finger or a headache. We're talking about the emotional, mental parts. Why is that so difficult to heal?
Because you can't move on.
See? Can't move on. What else? You can't move on.
You have to be willing.
You have to be willing.
The process is hard.
Process is hard.
Still stuck on me.
Say it again.
Still stuck on
me. Stuck? Anybody else? Do you know healing?
Oh, wait. And you got to touch on
sensitive areas. And what's crazy about y'all, what hurts is that what my heart goes out to y'all because, man, your brains ain't fully developed yet. Like, your brains ain't there yet. Like scientifically, your brains don't fully develop between the ages of 25 and 30. That's why Jesus started his ministry till 30. Because he had to fully develop physically. Not the God him, but the body him. So what happens between 8 years old? That's why they say at 6 years old, you have already formed who you are. At six. By 12, usually between 6 and 12, the wounds occur. Why do you think the devil is after that age bracket? Yes?
Because, you know, with parents and stuff, like, if you're like, stuff can happen with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in the mix of it.
In the mix, yeah.
And it can affect you, and then you'll show hatred, or like you'll have like depression or whatever like you may grow through,
mm-hmm.
and the devil will try to like bring you away with all those things.
Yep. So, yeah. Go ahead, swear.
Because you don't know who you are yet, nor your purpose, so you're still trying to figure yourself out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, swear. Vulnerable and naive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all of you all when y'all was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, man, bro, I remember when I was a kid, man, I used to go into the closet and grab a towel, tie the towel around my neck, have a cape. I used to be at the top of the steps. You know what I'm saying? I was a boy. Boys gonna do boy things, right? Young girls was like, I can take over the world. The devil wants by 6 for your parents to just boom, boom, or society boom. How many of y'all have big dreams? At 6 years old, bro, we before we got 6 or 7, we wanted to take over the world. We wanted to be firemen, police officers, doctors. I don't know what y'all wanted to be, but that's what, huh? A mermaid? Y'all see? Ain't nothing wrong with that. That mermaid movie changed her life. And now... But what I'm saying is the enemy wants by 6 and 12 to completely destroy your imagination. Because if he can get your imagination and then put you in a school system that's trying to conform you to not think, then you'll never discover you. And he knows if I can get rid of you and then wound you, that time you 18, man. You don't know yourself. And you're not even 25 yet. That sounds like a school shooter. Just legend.
Yeah, you know,
legend. So now 25 to 30. Now you have most people by 25 to 30 years old. About time their brains fully develop. They got so many wounds in them. Because by the time you're 25, most people don't know how to heal. That's why you have to say, you know what? If I want to be healed from whatever this is, I have to ask myself the big question. Do I want to be healed? It says, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool. Now, the second issue of sickness, what no matter what it is after the question is, do you? Now is the issue is, I have no one. You don't need anyone
to be great.
Don't get me wrong. You're going to need people to help you along the way, but you don't need no one. And what I mean by that is that this man had a big excuse. He says, sir, I have no one to put me. No, the thing is, you don't need, you can't wait for someone to put you. You got to put you. And a lot of people are like, you're waiting for your dad to come home and say, I love you. Waiting for your mom to get off of her emotional whirlwind to pay you attention. You're waiting for that friend to come back. You're waiting for that girl to text you back. You're waiting for that guy to look your way. And you're waiting for someone to put you in a positive state. And Jesus is like, yo, I'm the only one that can. Bro, I know how it feels when I was playing ball and my dad wasn't at games and everybody's dad was getting rebounds for them and I'm sitting there getting my own rebound, gotta carry the ball, tears in my eyes, you know what I'm saying? And you know, the water, the eyes get watered, but you ain't trying to, you ain't want no thug tears to come out. You like, you know, I just got, you know, I'm yawned, right? I know how it feels to wait for, oh man, I ain't gonna tell that story. But anyway, but I got to a place where I realized I can't wait for nobody to put me in a position. I have to put myself in position. Now, why is it important to put yourself in position for success?
What happens if you put yourself?
Why is it? Oh, man. What'd I say? Why is it important to put yourself in position to win? Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. It'll like get you in the future to like be successful,
mm-hmm,
and be positive and whatnot.
That's good. What else? Yes.
To know what you need to strive for.
To know what you need to strive for. I don't have no room on the board, but we're gonna rock with it. Yes, sir.
Because you're already prepared for it.
Already prepared for it. Anybody else? My question to you is, That's why I tell people, I'll get to the question in a minute. That's why it's important to talk to people who are winning in the place that you want to win one day. Because when you're around winning people, like, bro, like this morning I'm listening to Michael Jordan Motivation. I'm listening to Kobe all the way there, you know. I'm listening to certain people because I'm framing my mind to stay in a winning sphere. And even though you may not have winners around you, you can find winners. Because when you're around winning people, for instance, I don't want to imagine me being around a guy who's been divorced twice and trying to learn how to be a successful husband. Like, that ain't going to work. Imagine me on the corner, and I park my car over here by the bush, and I go to the guy who's you know, got a sign. I'm like, man, teach me the game. Teach me how to make money, man. Like, y'all be like, Mr. S, man, why are you on the corner? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not how you win. And right now, as young people, you can put yourself, like Khalil said, in position to win by your habits. And habits are boring. No, like, bro, reading is not cool. Nobody, you know, universally, people don't think reading is cool. Like, reading, but when you understand the power of reading, I gotta read every day. I gotta write every day. I gotta practice habits. I gotta come home and talk to, that's a relational habit. Come home and talk to my wife. Play with my daughters, relational habit. I read my Bibles, a relationship habit. Like those habits undergird you to help you to succeed. It puts you in position so when it's time for you to succeed, you're right there on the edge of the pool. And you're not waiting for somebody to pull you into the pool. So do you want to be healed is the first question. And the excuse that you should never say out of your mouth is, I have no one to put me into the pool. Because it says, when the water is stirred up and while I'm going, another steps down before me. How many of us also make the excuse like, well, I mean, she got it, so I'm just going to. He did it. So, I mean, why try? Because there she go again, winning. There he goes, succeeding. But here's where I want to get to, and I'm done. Y'all can spend the rest of the time working on stuff and whatnot. Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed, and walk. That's the formula. If you want to be healed, if you want to win, number one, you got to what? Get up. What does get up mean? That because when Jesus says stuff, it's like a 50 layered thing. What does get up? Yes, sir.
Like start? Start
something? Yep, start.
Start
and stop. Yep, what else? Get out the old. Get out the old. So you got to get out.
Try.
Yep. We can go as long as you want. What else? Because get up. Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, like when you fail,
mm-hmm.
Get back up.
Get back up. Bounce back.
Wake up.
That's layered because wake up. You up, but are you awakened? Like, are you enlightened? All those are good. Anybody else? Get ready. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Make a change.
Man, just two words. We got all these words. Jesus said, get up. And when Jesus speaks, and that's what I love about God, and that's why you got to know God to a degree, because he'll say something. You ever spent time with God and you felt something simple, but it was so profound? He told that man to get up. He told that man, yo, start that business. I'm talking about us now. Start that idea. Get up. Get out of that. Get up and just do it. He said, also, get up means stop staying down. He says, you know what? Get out of that mentality. Get up and get out of that mentality, that way of thinking. Bounce back, fam. Yeah, man, that happened to you 38 years ago. But bounce back. Get ready. Make that change. Wake up, man. Get up. And so God is saying, yo, get up, man. Yeah, Pops ain't coming home, fam. Get up, man. Yo, he ain't coming back. She ain't coming back. And even if he does come back in your life, he's still going to be the same. So just get up. That girl long gone. Get up, man. She ain't thinking about you. He ain't thinking about you. Get up. And number two, he says, take up your bed. Now, what does that mean?
Take your sorrows.
Go ahead, girl. Go ahead. What you about to say?
Take your sorrows and leave them down. Or like, it's like.
No, I'm rocking with you. Come back to you. Yes, sir.
I think I know what she's trying to say.
Help out.
Take up like your bed. Like, I feel like he's trying to say, like, leave everything behind.
Yeah. Take up your bed means we not going to be here no more. What else? What you guys say? You smile.
Probably just leave the old you behind.
Leave the old you behind. That's all good. What else?
Find something new.
Huh?
Find something new.
Find something new. Take up your bed. Now, what was the bed? What was the bed to him? Well, we're about to get into it. What was the bed to him? So when God said, take up your bed, what was the bed to him? Huh?
Bondage?
Bondage? Yep. Yep. That's good. I'll take that.
I guess it was like a place of like comfortability.
Comfortability? Yep. That's what I'm looking for. But all those are good. He was like, fam, we done with that bed, fam. It wasn't like the bed at your house. Don't think that God was like, take up your mattress. That wasn't what he was talking about. A floor can be a bed. A couch can be a bed. A place that you lay down, right? It was one of them mats. You remember the mats in fifth grade, you know, elementary school, those little, you know what I'm talking about, the little fold-up mats, a trifold mats thing, something like that, you know what I'm saying? Because he was like, yo, take up that bed, man. Take up that old you. Take up that thing that was comfortable to you. Take up that thing that kept you stagnant. Take that up. Take that excuse up and let's get out of here. Take up that bed and what?
Walk.
What does walk mean?
Start.
Take it slow. Curl.
Yeah.
That girl went poetic on it. She was like, take it slow. Okay, what else? Walk. Sometimes the thing that you thought you would never do again, if you get up and take up, you'll walk on. Healing doesn't happen by always, you know how, I tell people, man, turn your prayer room
into a room.
Help me out now, Bria, help me out.
Okay, no.
What's she saying?
No, that one. I was going to say, turn your prayer room into a layer room.
It's okay. Help me out. Give me something else, though. Give me another rhyme. Take, turn your, man, that's a tough one. Prayer.
Turn
prayer don't have no.
Prayer room
into
a
safe
place. Safe.
We'll get there. We'll keep working.
For real, I'm gonna play safe from doom.
I'll do this. Turn your waiting room into a working room. People pray, but they don't prepare. How many times we pray? We pray, God, please. And God's like, yo, fam, like, I hear you, but I don't see you. I don't see you doing, like, a prayer request. Give me a random prayer request. A big prayer request.
Pass the PSATs.
Now, you can pray about that all day long, but if you don't study, God ain't going to help you. God ain't going to help someone who is not willing to help themselves. Did Jesus touch that man? Did Jesus pick that man up? Did Jesus fold that man's bed up for him? Did Jesus say, I'm going to hold you while you take your first steps? No. Yes, sir.
So basically, we can't rely on God to do everything. We have to do half of it ourselves.
Amen, my brother. That's the word. The Bible says, if you draw near to me, I'll what? And we don't read the whole Bible. Jesus came all the way one time. He ain't trying to come all the way again. But I went all the way to save you. But I'm gonna go halfway for you to save yourself in the areas you need salvation. Now, what I mean, we're not talking about your soul in heaven and stuff. We're talking about aspirations. We're talking about Like for instance, I can't sit there and ask God every night, Lord, bring $5 million. Lord, bring $5 million. Day three, Lord, bring. And God's like, go out there and get your $5 million. Do you know my $5-10 million is in the world right now? And I'm one idea away, three ideas away. So what he's saying is, get up, because I'm not going to get you up. Take up, because I'm not going to take it up for you. And go get it. That's healing. You know what is the most powerful healing mechanism that saved my life from suicide? Like, bro, like, fam, I was about to be out of here. It wasn't like no tinkering and playing with the death thing. I was really maybe a few days away of really taking my life seriously out of here. Until God said, yo, fam, go write a book. And where that book at, man? They took my book, too? My book and my speakers, bro?
No.
Nah,
man, they took everything.
It was like the double book. I'm gonna take that man's speaker. Oh, here it is.
How do you put the book on it? Thank
God. This book right here, and the crazy thing about this book, I wrote this book in 2000. I published it 2010. I was walking down the middle school hallway one day, and this book was in the middle of the floor. Oh. Random. I think an angel was like, because I was walking down the hallway and I was like, it was in the middle of the, I'm not lying to you, the middle of the hallway. I'm like, fam, who does that, right? So I pick up the book and I just assumed that it was one of those ones recently. But the first copies of my book, I did the gloss, I didn't do the matte. This book was in a bookstore. When I had my first batch of books was in a VCC bookstore. This is my first signature. I don't know if this is one of the first books, but I signed books when I launched a book at Victor that one time. And it was God reminding me, and he was like, you remember that time when you were suicidal? And I told you to write a book. God, but heal me. Take this depression out of me, God. Take this pain. And God said, you know what, bro? If you just write a book, all that pain. This book right here, every time I look at it, and I'm about to get emotional. This book right here, because I know, I don't even know the proper English, I'm getting choked up, but the emotional state I was in when I wrote this book, fam, how much healing is in that book, fam? Like, how much, like, tears I cried while typing, fam? Like, when I was bringing this book to people, will you publish this for me? And I got turned down twice. And then I had to say, you know what? If y'all gonna turn me down, I'm gonna turn up. So I created my own publishing company, Casting Seed Publishing. I said, fam, if God wants me to do this, I'm going to keep going deeper and deeper in this healing process. That's why I tell kids all the time, what do you love doing? Do it. But I don't feel like doing it. Of course you're not going to feel like doing it, but when you start fulfilling, the best word between the two is feeling, not filling. What's the two word? F-E?
Oh, filling.
Feeling and an F-I-L-L-I-N-G. We feel more than we feel. What I mean by that? Like, we sit in our pain and we feel the absence of a father. We feel the emotional turmoil of a mom. We feel the arguments between our parents. We feel the rejection, the abandonment when you shot that shot. You took that step back and you shot that shot on that girl and it rimmed out. And it was like the double rims. And you was like, man, she don't even... All those feelings. But when you get to feeling your purpose, when you get out there and you say, you know what? Right now, there's holes in this room all over the place. And God commissioned me in this ninth grade year to use my purpose to pour what's in me into whatever holes is in these grounds. So after I preach, fam, I have no notes. This is all from the soul. But when y'all leave and I say, man, I'm about to get teary-eyed because I'm a miss shot this year. But when y'all leave this room and I say, I love you, I mean that stuff, man.
Love you too.
And when I say that, I'm like, man, because one day, I was in Walmart about 3 months ago. I don't know if I told you the story. This kid named Davion was a terrorist. Elementary school, a terrorist. A domestic terrorist. That boy, he comes out of the carpool line
First off, you know, I was BMT, so I would high five kids when they come in. So when I opened the door, I got high.
I said, oh, shoot. Dad's smoking. He coming out the car, weed all on him. I'm like, this is going to be a good day. And then as soon as he gets out of the car, he's looking to fight somebody. He's looking to fight. I was like the ISS person as well. So when he got in trouble, he was with me probably 80% of the school year. I'm in Walmart, and off Wilkinson Boulevard, because that was the closest Walmart. So we know where I was at. I was in the hood. So, you know what I'm saying? And when they put the police car, that police tower thing to be in the parking lot, I park my car always around the police tower thing. Ain't nobody gonna touch Lexi when she by the police car thing. And so, but I'm used to the hood, so I'm not scared of the hood because I grew up in the hood. I grew up like literally in that neighborhood across that Wilkinson Boulevard. So. I'm not afraid of the hood, but I'm not stupid of the hood, right? You know what I'm saying? I don't carry cash when I go to the hood. So when people ask me, I'm like, oh, man, I don't got it. So anyway, I'm in Walmart because I had to go to the church and deliver something. So I had to go to the close one. So I'm in, Damien, I'm over here in the, I don't know where I was at. Damien passed by my, he says, Mr. Azzy. I said, and he's 60. All right, what's up, man? You a big boy, you know what I'm saying? So he says, Mr. S, you remember me? I said, fam, help me remember you. You know, I've seen so many kids, you know what I'm saying? And he was like, man, Mr. Ezzy, I'm Damien. I said, Damien, you doing good, man? Man, he's like, Mr. Ezzy, man, me and my mom listen to your podcasts and videos all the time. I'm doing better, Mr. Ezzy. I'm doing good. He got a job at Walmart.
Oh, wow.
So Damien, I saw it, man. The only job he's going to get is hired by the streets. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, yo. And so I got into my car and bawled like a baby. Because I'm like, fam, I ain't seen this kid in 5 years.
Bro, if I would have killed myself before Ray rolled on 485, I wouldn't have dapped Damien. I wouldn't have been in this room right now. So what am I saying, fam? Get up. Take up your bed and walk. Because I promise you, when you walk towards healing, you'll be healed along the way. Jesus, that man took up his bed, the Bible says. He said, Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed and walk. And at once, the at once is key. Right now, I done gave you a word. Right now, I done gave you something that you can at once. Now, at once means maybe not right after this, but at once means tonight. You're going to talk to God at once. At once, you're going to start that book now. At once, you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to pursue my purpose, because at once the man was healed. Now, I remember when I played basketball, when I had twisted my ankle real bad, I didn't realize the body immediately went to healing. You know, healing hurts before it feels good, because the ankle has to swell. There's pain there. And we're thinking, oh, the pain, it ain't getting healed. No, the pain is protection. So sometimes healing, you don't know when you started the healing process. But at once, when you just start going after God and your purpose, man, over a period of time, you'll be healed. He says, and at once the man was healed and he took up his bed and walked. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying this. What am I saying? I am. Get that bed up and do what? Any thoughts, comments, questions? Everybody good? What we got, Bri? I done gave you in 38 minutes, Bri. What you got? I'm going to let you go ahead. Anything we said, you can rhyme it.
Hold on.
And that's crazy. We are at 38 minutes. 38, that's something else.
You gotta take up your bed and walk to talk the Jesus talk.
We'll take it. Let's go, friend. We'll take it.